Rabbeinu, we're coming in the vicinity of Shavuos. Shavuos is around the corner. Okay, I want to begin to discuss some inyanim relating to the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Okay, the first thing is Shavuos, weeks, right? What did I say? I said Shavuos? Well, the Shavuos, I'm sorry. Shavuos. Chag HaShavuos. Chag HaShavuos, with the komatz. The festival of weeks. Okay, so I want to discuss with you a couple of inyanim. First, let's see how much time we have. The first thing I want to discuss is the end of Tikkun Leil Shavuos. There's a minhag Yisrael to stay up the entire night of Shavuos and learn Torah. Where does this minute come from? So you'll be shocked to know that the minute comes from the Zohar. The whole thing is based upon a Zohar. It's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's not in the Mechav, not in the Ramah. The Mogen Avram quotes the Zohar. The Zohar says, I told you yesterday that we're so influenced by the Zohar, we don't even realize how many things that we do are all based upon things that it says in the Zohar. The Zohar says, Shachasidim harishayim hayu nu'urim kol alayla v'yoyiskim b'torah. The Chasidim harishayim would stay up the entire night in the Oisik and Torah, and many people followed in the ways of these Chasidim Rishonim. They stay up the entire night. In fact, the Zohar goes on to say something very shocking, that a person that stays up the entire night, he's guaranteed that he will live out the entire year. And there's a question, what that means? Does that mean he'll live out from year to year, from Shavuos to the next Shavuos? Does that mean he'll live out the entire year until Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur? But this is what it says in the Zohar. There's also a legend, it's quoted by many Sarim, that a person learns the entire night without Hefsek, without any Bittul Torah, then he'll be Zohar to Gilui Eliyahu. Have you heard that before? You'll be Zohar to Gilui Eliyahu. There is such a legend. Okay, that's not happened to me. That I can guarantee you. But this is now. The question is, why? Why is it necessary to stay up the entire night? What's the time, the logic behind this tradition of the Zohar that it's necessary to stay up the entire night? So the Zohar, I don't know if it's the Zohar, but the Farshim tell us it's based upon a Medrash that the night when HaKadosh Baruch gave Klal Yisrael the day that HaKadosh Baruch gave Klal Yisrael Torah, Klal Yisrael overslept. It slept in 2 hours into the day. So that means if the day begins at 6 o'clock, they woke up at 8 o'clock. They woke up at 8 o'clock, and HaKadosh Baruch was already waiting for Klal Yisrael, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu had to go and wake up Klal Yisrael to come to Har Sinai. It was a very big embarrassment, very big disgrace. So Klal Yisrael somehow, as Takana, took it upon themselves to misaken this, to stay up every night, in order that we should not repeat this terrible shame, embarrassment of coming late to Matan Torah. Okay, that's what it says, and that's what it says in one Chazal. But it's very problematic because there's another Medrash that says Beferish they were up the entire night waiting for Matan Torah. So that seems to be a very big contradiction to this thing which every child will tell you, that Klal Yisrael overslept the first night. There's another Medrash that says no, they were waiting up the entire night for HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the Torah. There's a beautiful different Rav Tzadik. I once mentioned this to you before. Rav Tzadik says that Klal Yisrael, they bedafka went to sleep, because Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tomorrow will come and give you the Torah, and it's going to be a revelation. Klal Yisrael, the only form of communication they were familiar with was prophecy. And the average prophet receives prophecy when they are asleep. So Klal Yisrael Bedavka, they specifically went to sleep to receive the Torah, because that's how prophecy works. Unless you're Moshe Rabbeinu and you're able to call HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're awake. But the average person the average prophet only communicates with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his sleep, when he's unconscious. So Klal Yisrael, they went to sleep in order to be mekabel the Torah. That was a mistake. Moshe Rabbeinu said to him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to raise you to a level where you're going to be able to receive the Torah when you're awake. And that's why he had to wake them up. Yeah.
You learned this in Shulchan Aruch just now. There's a minute by Chassidim that Friday afternoon they sleep.
Yeah.
Because they say the koyach of the... It's the end of the week, and all the koyach of the Sitra Acha is the strength, the strongest right before Shabbos.
Yeah.
That's why we learned they go to the mikveh right before.
Yeah,
Shabbos.
Yeah.
That's why they also sleep.
Erev Shabbos?
They sleep Erev Shabbos afternoon. So
why?
Winter time. So there should be no chance for them.
Do an Avera.
Right.
Fascinating.
You have 49 madrigas of Tumah.
Yeah.
And the Yidden was saved from the 50th, and also right before Shavuos. So when you sleep, more or less, you have less chance of doing aveira than if you're up.
Anything. But the Chazal said that sleep for tzaddikim is a bad thing, because during that time they can do mitzvahs, and sleep for Rishayim is a good thing, because the time they would be awake, they would be doing Adheris. So he's saying that all the Hasidim are wicked. They should go to sleep. Okay, that's an idea. I came across another very nice idea. Okay, I came across a very okay. There's another nice idea here presented. Why we stay up the entire night? We have a very well known Chazal that the Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went to receive the Torah, he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. How did Moshe Rabbeinu know when the clock changed? How did he know how to count time? Moshe told Klal Yisrael that he has to come down. He's going to return to Klal Yisrael after 40 days. So Moshe had an internal clock. He kept track of time. How did he know there was no concept of time in Shemayim? So Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he learned with Moshe Rabbeinu at night Torah Sheh Baal Peh, and by day Torah Sheh Bichsaf. That's how Moshe was able to keep track of time, different sessions. He knew when the day changed to night, when night changed to day, and was thus able to calculate 40 days. When Klal Yisrael said Naseh V'Nishma, it simply means they accepted the Torah. Problem is, we find the Chazal that Kof Alem Har Chagigis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced Klal Yisrael to receive the Torah, and the only ones going to accept the Torah at the time of Purim of Kimu V'Kiblu, Kimu Asher Kiblu Kvar. So we have a very basic contradiction. On the one hand, Klal Yisrael said Naseh V'Nishma. On the other hand, it seems that we were forced to receive the Torah and we did not accept it willingly until the time of Purim. How do we reconcile this contradiction? So the common answer given is a difference between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. Klal Yisrael were willing and ready to mekabel the Torah Shebichsav, but to learn Torah Shebal Peh, the difficulty in understanding the depth of Torah, that they were now willing to do, and that they had to be forced, they only fully accepted upon themselves with will at the time of Purim. Torah Shebal Peh was taught at night. Torah Shebichsav was taught by day. Naseh V'Nishma was the so. Therefore, when we stay up at night, what are we really doing? As staying up at night? At night is the time to learning Torah Shebal Peh. We're trying to be misakin the fact that we were not willing to accept the Talmud and Torah, Torah Shebal Peh. When we said Kol Asher Dibra Hashem Naseh V'Nishma, that was only for Torah Shebichsav. But there was a kidrug on Klal Yisrael, the B'shas Matan Torah, that we were not willing to accept Torah Shebal Peh. We had to be forced into Torah Shebal Peh with Kof Alem Har Chagigis. This is a stain on our acceptance. To reconcile that kitrek, that problem, every single year until the time for all doros, we stay up the entire night, because night is the zman of Torah Shebal Peh, and we learn Torah at night to show that we are also being makabel with will and with desire, even the Torah Shebal Peh, not just the Torah Shebichsav. That's another idea. Okay, let's go to another concept. What do we learn at night? There are two customs. There is the custom of the Bnei Torah, which most people, they will learn whatever they like. Li'olam yilman adam. You like to learn Maral? Learn Maral. You like to learn Zohar? Learn Zohar. If you like to learn Chumash and Rashi, learn Chumash and Rashi. You want to learn a Daf Gemara or the Taisvis? Whatever you want. No one's stopping you. That is probably the most common thing. You want to go to a lecture, a whole night lecture, all the Rabbanim, they dash all night. Wonderful. On the other hand, there is something called Tikkun Leil Shavuos. They sell it today in the stores. It became a new business. You can go buy in the store what's called Tikkun Leil Shavuos. What is Tikkun Leil Shavuos? This was composed seemingly by the Ari HaKadosh, the Arizal. The Arizal came along and he said you should learn the first Pasuk in each parsha and the last pasuk in each parsha. And after you finish Chumash, you shall learn all the in Nevi'im, all the first pasuk of each sefer and the last pasuk, and then Ksuvim, the first and the last, and then Mishnayis, the first Mishnah of the Masechta and the last Mishnah, the first piece of Gemara, the last piece of Gemara. You basically go through Kol HaTorah Kula, Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara, and you go through the beginning and the end. Even some go into Zohar. They touch upon all the different Mitzvos HaTorah, and you learn the beginning of a section and the end of the section. That counts as everything. This is what's called Tikkun Leil Shavuos in a mach. So they sell it as a separate book in all different types of shapes and sizes. In some machzorim, you can find it in some machzorim. Tikkun Leil Shavuos. So by some people, it is by some people, this is what you're supposed to do in the night of Shavuos. You're supposed to read, to the best of your ability, Tikkun Leil Shavuos. There's a very famous story which illustrates this difference, two different malachim learning between the Gra and the the Dubna Magid. Everyone knows the Dubna Magid lived the time of the Gra, and the Gra in fact used to invite the Dubna Magid every so often to give him Musar. And they once happened, this is the way the legend goes, and if it's true or not I don't know, but this is the legend, that once the night of Shavuos, the Dubna Magid and the Vilna Gaon were together learning in the same Beis Medrash. It's a little bit far-fetched to say that the Vilna Gaon learned in the Beis Medrash, the Vilna Gaon learned privately, learned in his own study, but that's the way the legend goes. They were learning together in shul at night. And the Vilna Gaon was very makbid to recite Tikkun Lel Shavuos. First Mishnah, last Mishnah, and so on and so forth. And the Dubna Magid was learning a Daf Gemara. Was learning a Gemara, regular Gemara. So the Vilna Gaon said to Dubna Magid, what are you doing? You should be learning the Tikkun Lel Shavuos. This has been instituted. This is a very holy thing to do this the night of Shavuos. So the Dubna Magid said, Kedarkoi, Mashal Lemaha Davidayim. Let me give you a Mashal. Very beautiful Mashal, which really brings out a lot of get our times. He said, there was once a young man, he got married, he studied, he was supported by his father-in-law, and then the father-in-law said, listen, I can't support you anymore, it's time for you to go out and make a parnasa. So the son-in-law says, I don't know how to make parnasa, I don't know what to do, I don't know the first thing about business, what should I do? So the father-in-law says, so you know what, go to the market, and look around and see what other people do, and you do what they do. Study the way of the world. So this young man goes into the market and he sees all of these stores one after another, and in front of the store when the business day begins, everyone takes out a couple of shmatas and they hang it outside if you're a tailor. So he saw in front of the tailor store there were suits, a little suit, a big suit, different types of clothing, people that sold spices. So in the front of the store they set up a stand, a table, they put some spices on the table. Someone was sold meat, so they put different selections of cold cuts, some meat in front of the store. In front of the store there were samples. So this young man went, he bought for himself a store, and he went out and he decided he's going to become a tailor, wherever he was. He selected some type of business, and he bought samples. He bought all the samples that the other merchants put in front of their store, on a table in front of the store. And he stood in front of the store, and people came to look at the samples, and they said to him, do you have this in stock? And he said, I'm selling, this is what I'm selling. I'm selling here this little piece of material, this color, that color. So he said, no, we're not interested. And he failed in his business. So he comes back to his father and he says, I did what you told me to do. I went and I imitated what the other merchants are doing. So the father-in-law said to him, you foolish son-in-law, you fool. What the other merchants are selling, are presenting in front of their store, are samples. But in the store, they have stock of everything that's in front and that they're presenting as a sample. They have a large quantity of these goods in their store. You fool! All you have are samples. You don't have inside of the store the goods. And when the customers detect that all you're selling them is a sample, and they realize that you don't have inside stock a large quantity of this material, of this commodity, they immediately move on to the next store. That's what the Dubna Magid said. That's the mashal. What's the nimshal? Nimshal is you, the Vilna Gaon. You're a genius. You're an Adir HaTorah. You have in stock Kol HaTorah Kula. There's nothing that you don't know. So the night of Shavuos, what do? You present the samples. You present the samples. The beginning of this parsha, the end of this parsha, the beginning of this mesach, the end of this mesachta. If you have in stock an Oitzer Bolum of Torah and Yerushalayim, then it's kedai to go on the night of Shavuos to present to the Ribbono Shalom the samples of what you've accomplished. But the Dubna Magid says, someone like me, who doesn't have anything at home, I'm empty, I'm going on empty. If I'm going to read the Tikkun Lel Shavuos and just read the first Mishnah, the last Mishnah, it's a joke. It's just a sample. And if you don't have in stock the real deal, there's no purpose in presenting to the world the sample. It's a kuchu tulula. So this is indeed the difference between the Tikkun Lel Shavuos and learning a Daf Gemara. That's why among the Bnei Torah in our generation, fortunately, no one can say about themselves that they're an Oitze Bolum of Torah Yerushalayim. They know Kol Torah Kula. Unfortunately, that's not the case. And therefore, it's a kuchu tulula of many feel to say Tikkun Lel Shavuos, and they don't say Tikkun Lel Shavuos. However, there is another school of thought that says, Adarabba, a person should bedavka say Tikkun Lel Shavuos to a very Kabbalistic and yanim in this, and also it awakens a person. It's a person, if he reads Tikkun Lel Shavuos, you get a taste of what the depth, the expanse, the enormity of Torah, and maybe it'll make a roshim on you when you learn even the first and last mishnah, the first and last pasuk of what is out there, and maybe in your mind it'll have an effect on you that throughout the year you will improve, you'll set aside more time to learn Torah, and by next year Shavuos you'll be a much bigger Talmud Chacham. And they go so far to say that it's very fascinating that we find this idea first and last in many different areas in Halacha. For example, there was a time of Shmat where the government did not allow, it probably goes back a thousand years, Dor HaShmat did not allow Klal Yisrael to recite Kriya Shema. If they caught someone saying Kriya Shema, it meant instant death. So what did Chazal come along and do? We do still do this Aliyah Mazeh on Shabbos Musaf. We recite a long version of Kedusha. How does Kedusha begin? It begins Shema. Well, one of the sections of Kedusha begins Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad, and then we go on to Hu Elokim Hu Yashem Hu Yashem Ruach Mishnas Dani Chalil Yisrael Elokim Ani Hashem Elokeichem. So what are we doing in this? What are we doing in Kedusha? The first and the last. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and we conclude with Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Ani Hashem Elokeichem. The last words of Kriya Shema. What's going on? Why did Chazal construct the Kedusha in this fashion? They wanted the first and the last. And if you are in a situation where it's Shmat, and you're not able to recite the entire Kriya Shema, and you only can do a token fulfillment of the Kriya Shema, just say the beginning and say the end, and there's something to it. What is there in it? It's a complete reminder of the Shlemus of Kriya Shema. This is how what Chazal instituted during the Dor HaShmat, and this remains with us on Hayom Hazeh. So we see in our, even what we do every single Shabbos, we see this concept of Tikkun Lel Shavuos, the first and the last. Another example, the Gemara talks about the Sefer Koheles. Sefer Koheles was composed by Shlomo HaMelech. Chazal said in Sefer Koheles there are things that are very disturbing, which don't make any sense, which appear to be words of heresy. And Chazal wanted to put Sefer Koheles in Geniza. Even Yisevi Cheskel also. And then Chazal said, however, the beginning is full of Yerushamayim, and the end, Soif Devakol Nishma, as Lokim Yirah, the end is Yerushamayim. So therefore, that says it all. If the beginning is good, and the end is good, and we got a problem with the middle, you know what? We'll figure out a solution. We'll work out the middle to make sense out of it. Same thing with Sefer Yechezkel. They also do a problem in the beginning and in the middle, but the beginning and the end was a good. That's an indication that the entire thing is good through and through. So another example, we see that Chazal said that if the beginning is good and the end is good, then the middle somehow will work out the middle. The middle, everything will straighten itself out. That idea overflows and is expressed in Tikkun Lel Shavuos, where if you focus on the beginning, focus on the end, somehow we could have a roshim upon us that maybe throughout the year will awaken us to straighten out what's in the middle. Another example Chazal gives is Chol HaMoed. Why is Chol HaMoed? Chol HaMoed is sacred. There are many halachas of Chol HaMoed. You know, the malacha, this davar ovid. Where did Chazal derive that Chol HaMoed has kedusha? It's a whole shulchan aruch. Chol HaMavas HaMoedos Ein Lechelat Yolam Haba. And the answer Chazal give is, if the beginning is kodesh and the end is kodesh, that means there's something very special about the middle. If the first day Pesach is Pesach and then the Shvi'i Shel Pesach, or there's the first day Sukkot and the Shmini Atzeres, it's a halacha concept. It's a halacha concept that means that the days in between are not just Yimei Achol. If the holiday was the first day Pesach is Pesach, and then there are six more days and there's no such thing as Shvi'i Shel Pesach, then there will be no such chum of Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed would be like Pesach Sheni. Oh, you want to eat matzah? Eat matzah. Are you allowed to go to work? Absolutely, go to work. Who's holding you back from going to work? This halachic concept that Chol HaMoed has sanctity is only built upon the foundation that if the beginning is holy and the end is holy, it must be that the days in between are sacred as well. Another example is Sfira Soimer. There are many Chamor Chazal that tell us that the days of Sfira Soimer are different types of days, because Sfira Soimer is sandwiched in between Pesach and Shavuos. If Pesach is holy and Shavuos is holy, the days of Sfira Soimer have a quasi degree of Chol HaMoed. 50 days of Kedusha, it's a different tkuf of time when you're counting, because the beginning and the end. So this is a very powerful concept in halacha. And he goes so far to quote one of the Shal Shuvah Svarim, where a person that made a neder, that every day after davening, he was makabel, he's going to learn a certain number of parakim, le'ili nishmas, his parent or so-and-so. And this person can cry to the rabbi, I can't do it. It's just impossible. I can't learn that. I have to go to work, and it's just impossible. I've got to be mekayim. So he told him, what you should do is, al pei halacha, learn the first mission, learn the last mission of every parak. You can't fulfill your neder. Okay, maybe he had to be matan neder, whatever the situation was, but at least a token fulfillment of what you promised to do for this neshama is learn the first and learn the last, and that will be a token fulfillment. So just like we see in halacha, there's such a concept in all these different areas. First and last has major significance for the center. There is also something in important about Tikkun Leil Shavuos, this ancient custom, which really was written by the Shla. The Shla was a very big, could be he composed it, or he had a big advocate of learning. What? Once long ago. So it was after, it was before the Gra. Before the Gra, but the Gra is not into Kabbalah, obviously. The Gra was the biggest misnagid that existed. And yet the Gra was one of the big, what it says here, was very, very strong advocate of Tikkun Leil Shavuos. And you don't see Talmidei HaGra doing learning.
It wasn't so old. The Ari was, what, 1400?
Wasn't so old, the Ari.
And
the... The Ari was staying...
1700, right?
The Gra was even later. The Gra was...
Had something that was only 300 years old. It wasn't such an old.
And the Gra was very, very pro this minig. What? I don't know. The Zohar, when there's other way we have it, the Zohar and the from the we have it. I think 400 years, something like that. More than 400 years.
It has to go way back, but
Rashbi.
If it goes way back.
But the Zohar didn't exist. The form that we have it did not exist until 400 or 500 years ago.
Did Spardim say Tikkun Leil?
I don't know. All right. So this is one topic. The end of Tikkun Leil Shavuos. Now, before we conclude, I want to tell you another topic, a few minutes about in honor of Shavuos. One of from the Sefer Rav Ashkenaz, the Lubavitch, the Rav of Kfar Chabad, Rav Mordechai Shmuel Ashkenazi. He has a very nice piece on Ahava Rabba. Though we have in davening. It's a very interesting idea. We say the Birchas HaTorah and Ahava Rabba every single day, and we fail to really understand the depth of what the brachas are all about. He asks a very basic question. Why do we have to recite four brachas in honor of the Torah every single day? We recite the first three brachas, Asher Kedushan B'mitzvot Sfer La'asog B'divrei Sara, that's number one. Then we have a Harevna, which is to some degree its own bracha. Then we have Asher Bochar Banu, and then we have the bracha of Ahava Rabba. Why do we have to have Ahava Rabba after we already have the first three brachas that we say with Birchas HaShachar? Why is there repetition? In fact, it goes so far as to prove that if a person is running late, it's a tremendous chiddush. I don't think we pass this lahalach, but he wants to be medaikus in the Shulchan Aruch Harav, that a person is running late, he's lechatchila allowed to omit the Birchas HaShachar and rely upon a Ahava Rabba. Ahava Rabba is such a powerful bracha. Birchas HaTorah, it really incorporates its koilel, it incorporates everything. However, halacha l'maaseh, we don't do that. We have a different set of brachas. So Rav Ashkenaz, he says a tremendous chiddush. He says there's a very fundamental difference between the first three brachas and the Ahava Rabba. The Ahava Rabba comes before Kriya Shema. In Kriya Shema, we have a pasuk of Vishinantam, there's an inyan of Talmud Torah. There's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But the mitzvah of Talmud Torah in Kriya Shema is Vishinantam Levonecha, which Chazal Darshan, should be sharp. And you shall teach it to your children, not just to your children, to your Talmidim. It's a high level of learning. What is the hakdama to the Vishinantam Lonecha V'dibar Tabam? This is the bracha of Ahava Rabba. The Birchas HaShachar Asher Kedushan B'mitzvot Tzvon La'asok B'divrei Sara, and the Harevna and Asher Bochar Banu are is a reference to Talmud Torah on a much simpler level. And he basically says, to prove his point, what he basically says is that when we, after we say the Birchas HaTorah, we have to take note that it's the minhag to say psukim of Birchas Kohanim, and then we say a Mishnah, Eilu Dvarim Shelachem Shiyu, we say Eilu Dvarim Shelachem Shiyu, which is a Braisa, which is a Braisa. We have Mikra, and we have I'm getting confused. We have a Mishnah. Why don't we say Gemara? What happened to, how can we only learn Mikra and Mishnah? Why don't we focus on Talmud? There are three different levels of learning. This was his explanation. There's a level of learning of...
One from Shabbos is a Gemara, no?
What?
There's three parts. The Eilu Dvarim Shel Moshe Peirkum, that's from a Mishnah.
Mishnah.
Eilu Dvarim Shel Adam Aleichu
Peirkum. Perasimel Amazeh is a Braisa. Okay, that's a Braisa. That's not really a Gemara. We call Gemara, because it just appears in the Gemara. Gemara is from Ravina Ravashi, is when you analyze Mishnais, when you compare Mishnais to extract reasons. A Baraisa just means it's Bora, means it's an outside Mishnah. A Baraisa is a match, is a parallel to a Mishnah. So his question is, why is it that when we cite L'chor, if we were making the brachos, what would we do? We write Chumash, Mikra, Mishnah, and then it would be appropriate to have Talmud. Talmud means to understand the reasons behind the Mishnais. Yet Chazal, when they construct the Nusach HaTzvila, the Nusach of Birchas HaShachar and Birchas HaTorah, they only have Mikra and two forms of Mishnah. A Mishnah from our Mishnais and a Braisa, which pretty much is equivalent to a Mishnah. Why didn't Chazal also establish to learn a Braisa, to learn a piece of Gemara as a fulfillment of Birchas HaTorah? So his answer is because that's exactly what the bracha of Ahava Rabba is reserved for. The same belibein lahavil haskil shmolu malam lishma lasa called divrei salmu tarosecha be'ahava. It's an amazing chiddush. You can go your whole life without knowing this. You might not agree with it, but it's an amazing thing to think about. Is that his idea is the Birchas HaShachar were instituted, were created in order to make a bracha for Mikra, which is Tar Shebech Saaf, and Mishnah, which is the basic foundation of Tar Shebal Peh. Mikra Mishnah, that's it. But Ahava Rabba, which is the Hakdama to Kriya Shema, where it introduces us to a higher level of learning of Vishinantam Levanecha, Shidivrei Torah Mishnanan Beficha, with giving it over to the children, which he holds represents the concept of Talmud. For Talmud, that we have a special bracha of Ahava Rabba. Yes, how do you...
What? Yerushalmi.
What? Yerushalmi is also Talmud. There's no difference.
But we should be learning Yerushalmi. In Echnami.
In Eretz Yisrael, they're very big into Yerushalmi. The only reason why we don't know Yerushalmi is because it was not as developed. It was not as developed as the Bavli. The Bavli, there was much more work went into composing, to putting in the 500 years of work went into the Talmud Bavli. In Yerushalayim, there was Golos. They were not... Rabbi Yochanan was there, but it was not developed to the same degree. Today, there's a renaissance. Many people today are studying Yerushalmi. Art school did a very impressive job putting out Yerushalmi, and even the Sifta, I think, did they start putting out Yerushalmi? But there's in Echanami, Rav Chaim Knievsky, he's very big in Yerushalmi. He's like, you know, he from, you see from the way he his writings, he treats the Yerushalmi equal, at least you get the impression, to the Bavli. There's a Talmud Yerushalmi, Talmud Bavli, Talmud Yerushalmi. But it's a fascinating idea.
So how do you cover, according to your Ashkenazi,
so where do you say,
where do you have the
whole day. That's what you...
Mikra,
what?
Mikra, Mikra,
you want to have a pasuk of
You won't actually say a piece of, learn a piece of Gemara part of the davening. So I guess he assumes that's what you do after davening is over. After davening is over, that's up to you. Talmud is not, doesn't have to be in written form. Talmud represents the learning process. Could very well be that our Talmud already has been spoon fed. It's put in the Gemara. We have Maseches. It's been written down for us. But in ancient times, what was Talmud? Talmud was the discussions, the Havayis, the Abaye Rava. They took the Mishnayis. They knew the Mishnayis. That was the basic text. That was something which was transmitted Mimosha. And then they analyzed on their own. We have a Mishnah, Mishnah Diyah, we have a contradiction, we have a Diyah. Let's figure out what this means. Talmud is not necessarily something which is in writing. Talmud, we, unfortunately, in the Skadim Adoros, we have no choice. The Havayis, Havayah Rav have been put into what we call Gemara, which is what's called Talmud. But again, I just want to emphasize, it's a fascinating idea, is that we have two sets of brachas. The Birchas HaShachar, according to Ashkenazi, was instituted primarily to make a bracha on behalf of Mikra and Mishnah. Mishnah is two forms, Mishnayis and Brisos. And then we have another bracha, a bracha of a Havrav, which is much more elaborate, which requires Siyat Shmai, the same Bilubain Lachav and Laskal Shmuel Lulamit. And there we actually mention the word Talmud. We don't say the word Talmud anywhere in the Birchas HaShachar. All we say in the Birchas HaShachar is Divrei Sayraskal, the words of your Torah. The words of your Torah include Torah Shebach Savan and the Torah Shebal Peh. A different set of brachas.
You should always say Kriya Shema if the same Birchas HaTorah.
You should say
Kriya Shema is mighty.
Kriya Shema is not. Kriya Shema is a shail if you give you Yakav Kavana.
Right. The only is, you say Kriya Shema with Kavana.
Yeah.
Because the Talmud inclusive also of
Right, so B'diyavet, he makes that. Right. He makes that point. He makes that point B'diyavet that you lot of learning
says.
Oh,
someone says that because the Kriya Shema is
He said, "This is just." He said, "Of course, you lie to learn a daf gemara before you daven, right?" There's no, how can I learn a daf gemara before I daven shachar? I didn't say the bracha havarabi yet. I only said the bracha shachar. Asher kileshanu. So if he's telling me, if I'm saying it's correct that the bracha for Talmud is the havarabi, you should not be allowed to learn Talmud until you daven, and that's ridiculous. He says. So the answer is obviously it's not so. The bracha satorah. Once you say bracha satorah, you can learn whatever you want, and b'diavad, if you didn't say, you could be yotze. If you didn't say Birchas Shachar and you just say Havarabah, you can be Yotzei with the Bracha by learning Torah right away with Kriya Shema. If you have Kavanah, learning a Patan Chumash. But he just wants to bring out there are more, many dimensions in the Brachas. And the break of the Brachas in these two ways. Okay, with that we will conclude.